Rise and Shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:07 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSelvin Vaughn, the Plowhawk, Iggy, the Sea Monster. Doug, the family is back again. It's been a while. The cat's been on the road. Mm. You were out of town. Mm. But look, we are all here. We are all here. We are all queer.
No, we're not. That last part, not necessarily true, but everyone is here. Everyone is here, that's for sure.
They can't do this in New York. There's not enough talent.
No, that's not as important a market either.
Right.
So much of the talent has coagulated here on the shores of the Mississippi.
Well, all I know is I was looking forward to being back in this chair with you guys and
breaking down
two surging teams.
One
the
team
Predators
is surging.
And the Blues?
Oh, the Redbirds. It's
not surging so much.
Get past this.
Well, I mean, technically they went 1-5 on the road trip, but
a lot of those games weren't very close, so it could have been 0-6.
Yeah, but I got a hug or two.
I saw the hug with Matt Holliday.
Yeah, Matt the Bat.
Did he really miss you, or is he just being nice? He didn't really miss you, did he? Did he miss
me so much, he hurt his back with a hug.
Yeah. Not the series he was hoping for, obviously. Struck out 3 times in the 1 game he could play and then couldn't play 2 games. Felt bad for him in that.
Well, I think he'll be okay because his Yankee friend swept. So,
oh, I'm sure he'll be okay.
It's about the win.
They've won 7 in a row, that Yankee bunch.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the Redbirds off to their worst start since 1988, Doug. I've got them at 3-9.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them at 3-9 over here.
Look,
and the worst run differential in baseball right there with the Padres.
It's a meaningless stat.
Doug, I know you focus on run differential. How do you?
It's a key stat. I'm surprised you would bring it up because I know most of our listeners, and you guys included, don't really understand the stat, what it means, how it's figured, how it's computed.
It's minus 22 through 12.
Yeah, but look at Babbitt.
Shooty Babbitt? The old Oakland A's?
Batted balls in play.
Oh, batted balls in play. Yeah. That's a nice metric you got there, guy.
All you need is a little tinkering with this lineup.
We'll talk it over with Ben Fredrickson at 8 o'clock, since we'll try to attempt to focus on what's very important at this point locally, it's what the Blues are doing to the Minnesota Wild. Terry Yake is going to be with us, the former Blues center now team alumni director. He provided post-game analysis to Frank Cusumano and KSTK yesterday following the Sunday afternoon victory over the Minnesota Wild to go up 3-0. In this series, the Penguins are up 3-0 on the Blue Jackets, the Blues are up 3-0 on the Wild, and there is a chance that tonight the Nashville Predators could go up 3-0 on the Chicago Blackhawks, setting up a matchup that everybody around the league expected, Doug, and that would be the Blues and Predators second-round showdown.
That's what I had picked.
In your brackets, in your tournament, you talk about this tournament.
Yeah, we can go back and listen to the tape again if you'd like.
What was the goal differential that clued you in?
That was one of the keys. Where I think I picked the Blues and the Predators to win their first round series rather easily, in fact. We can go back and get the tape if you want.
Nice.
I'm watching the Blues, okay? They were badly outplayed in game one, outplayed in game two. They're now up 3-0. It's Jake Allen. I mean, you can talk about other guys that have played very well, maybe not entering the score.
I didn't think they were outplayed in game two. You thought they were outplayed in game two?
I did.
Really?
But if you look at the chances that the Blues get, like last night, you know, they're keeping the Wild to the perimeter. Last night, the Wild got, of the 3 games, maybe more interior looks. But Jake Allen has been the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hasn't, I mean, look.
Don't say interior looks, though.
I liked it.
I just didn't actually like
they're
it.
Keeping,
care for it.
They're keeping most of the offense on the Wild on the outskirts of town.
Shoot, that's better.
Is that better?
That's better.
Doug, how do you analyze these 3 victories?
Well, I think that it's a little bit tenuous. When you're up 3-0, you get the impression that you've dominated a series, and they really have.
I agree with that.
They really have not. And so if any team has the impression like Minnesota that, well, we can come back, you could see how they could get that feeling that the Blues aren't firing 50 shots a game at them.
I feel like there's been one period of the nine, I guess you include the overtime period as well, and I would say the Blues outplayed them there, but it wasn't dominating. The one period of the nine where the Blues dominated was yesterday's first period. Dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of came away from the first period yesterday, probably like an Atlanta Braves fan did from 1991 through the mid-2000s, going, oh, only got one out of that? And I was wondering if the Wild would be like, okay, we dodged a big push, ironically, from the team that's up 2-0, but their first home period of the playoffs, and now we will respond. And they did in the second period. And they too, could have gotten more than one goal in the second period. The Blues withstood that, took the lead, then get the empty netter to go up 3-2-1. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, as you can imagine, they're none too pleased. As a matter of fact, any time a columnist gets into the head coach's potato chip eating habit after a game, you know things are off the rails. And that's exactly what Jibby Suhad has done.
Oh,
who was it?
Oh.
Jibby Suhad.
Suhan?
That's right.
Susie.
I don't know what they call him, but okay. I know he's the columnist.
Well, what do you write?
The veteran coach, Bruce Boudreau, cut off questions at his news conference and stormed away. The franchise player, Zach Parise, didn't speak in the locker room. Three games into the playoffs, the best regular season team in Wild history is winless and clueless, and the coach is selling the notion that his players should treat Wednesday's Game 4 as if it were Game 7. Boudreau is 1-7 in Game 7s. He might as well try selling humidity to Missourians. We got to look at it like it's a Game 7 on Wednesday and not worry about the series at all, Boudreau said. It has come to this for what was the best team in the Western Conference for much of the season, treating Game 4 as if it's a Game 7 and treating miscellaneous statistics as if they validate a 3-0 deficit in the first round against a team that had to scramble to make the playoffs. Boudreau tried to praise his third line. He defended the play of Ryan Suter, who was uncharacteristically shaky Sunday. He didn't just whistle past the graveyard. He tried to conduct an orchestra from atop a tomb. Boudreau was jovial most of the season, but now you see why his previous teams have failed in big games. He's uptight. His face is even redder than usual, and when reporters entered the locker room Saturday, when the Wild practiced, he was slamming potato chips into his mouth and missing with most of them. This is not the behavior of someone who calms the water. This is the behavior of someone who dives for a lifeboat. Mm. The Minneapolis Star Tribune.
I disagree.
Jibby Suhad.
Susie.
If you can find the intestinal fortitude to eat potato chips while everything is failing around you, I think that's a calming.
You're holding up quite well. I don't think you could look at the Wild and say, boy, they're sure not playing very well. They didn't come to play. They had 41 shots yesterday. They had 50-some-odd in Game 1. They're doing everything they need to do, except they're running into
a brick
wall in goal.
It's the quality. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, they're getting, I mean, the Blues are getting great goaltending, but the Blues get a lead, then they play back, and then they allow them to fire not necessarily high-opportunity shots on goal. And that's the difference. They started to really get some quality chances in the second period yesterday. Don't get me wrong. Jake Allen has been absolutely incredible. But the frustration for Minnesota is that they're just not getting many opportunities, much less when they do. Jake Allen is back there playing incredible hockey. This is like the Cardinals and Red Sox in 2004. The Wild haven't had a lead the entire playoff series, and it took until, what, 10 periods in? 10-plus periods in? I guess if you include the overtime period, 11 periods, for them to get an even-strength goal.
And look at yesterday's game, Parayko gets the Blues on the board with a little wrister that Dubnyk probably should have had. We haven't seen Jake give up. I mean, that's how games turn sometimes. And you can say that they haven't been getting a ton of pressure, internal pressure.
I don't like that.
I think Jake Allen's done a great job with the rebounds. I think the Blues defense has done a great job getting the puck out of there when there is a rebound. They have limited the Wild scoring opportunities on that front, but the Wild's been getting a ton of shots, and Jake's been there.
It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Design Air Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all sales from our TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. How about that, Doug?
That's a
DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train, and for our TMA Free Dotem Open, which is already sold out in less than 12 hours, 50 foursomes to you and me, Russ. We are giving away part of the proceeds to Three Little Birds for Life as well. Three Little Birds for Life is a local charity. It's kind of like a Make-A-Wish Foundation for young adults with cancer, and we have been partnering with them for about 5 years now. And it's so cool that Design Air Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all of their sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. You can get involved in the program by calling in, by texting in 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's 855-CUB-TALK to you and me, Russ. So the Blues are up 3-0 and in a spot where I don't think many people expected them to be. As a matter of fact, even if you did expect them to make a run at points over the last 15 years, you would have never seen them do what they're doing right now, which is go up 3-0 on teams. You have to go back 16 years to 2001 to find the last time the Blues were up 3-0. Do you remember it was against whom? Do you remember? I remember.
It was against their opponent in that series. It was against a hard-nosed group of ice thugs is who it was against.
It was against the little ball of hate.
That's right. Dallas.
That's right.
You know,
and Hitch.
Pat Verbeek.
That's right. Blues were up 3-0 on the Stars. And they did sweep Dallas. One of the cliches you hear at this time of year is, well, the fourth one's the hardest one to get. I mean, I realize that four times in the history of the NHL, teams have come back from 3-0 deficits. We've seen it twice since 2010.
It's not a regular occurrence.
But a lot of times it kind of just, you know, teams kind of fizzle off when they're down 3-0. I saw Frank tweet out that stat yesterday. And then I'm like, I was going to tweet it out, but I'm like, I know what'll happen. You know, a Hill Jack will, you know, with his 10 followers, an egg avatar will say, thanks for jinxing us. So it's almost, you don't want to say statistics because the inbreed community, it's like a bat signal for them. But it is a statistic.
Inbreds?
Yeah, actually true. All right. Yep, that's actually true.
If your parents were related somehow.
Correct. And they play banjos on bridges as people like Burt Reynolds go on float trips. It's true.
These are the folks saying those things.
That's right. Okay. Well, they get on the Twitter tweets. So Frank immediately.
Wasn't really a float trip, kind of a kayaking.
What was that? And what happened? Ned Beatty took the high hard one up against a tree?
Doug is our deliverance correspondent.
It's definitely a float trip that went bad, and I still feel bad for Ned Beatty.
Why? He's just minding his own business.
Yeah, why take the role?
He was a businessman. He wasn't an outdoorsman.
Why even take that part? It was, 40 years later, and that's all we can think of when we hear the name Ned Beatty.
I can remember him chanting for his son, Rudy Rudiger. 1991's Rudy.
What'd he say when he saw that stadium at Notre Dame?
My eyes have never seen anything as nice as this. Kind of like the oil scene with Chasey Lane and Jill Kelly.
I didn't see that one.
Charles S. Dutton agreed.
And I know in the McKernan household, you guys were Notre Dame fans.
You better believe
me. When I saw that, I didn't know you at the time.
But you thought
but
of
I knew the promise of you was out there.
Right.
Now, didn't Charles S. Dutton fall for the transgender in Tootsie? Wasn't that Charles S. Dutton?
Doug, you're
the actor.
You like to take these discussions and put them right into.
Well, I didn't bring it up.
Well, you just did.
No, I didn't.
So you're telling me in 1981, not only did you have a film in which Dustin Hoffman was dressing up as a woman to get a job in local television, already screaming about the integrity of the wonderful industry in 1981, but it was an interracial gay romance with a transgender?
No, I don't
know. And that wound up winning an Academy Award? I have to tell you, I don't know how it'd play in 2017, much less
Doug, you brought it up, so you own this discussion.
Well, I think that was Charles S. Dutton who fell for Dustin Hoffman's character in Tootsie, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I think it was the dad from Punky Brewster. Henry. Isn't it Henry? Isn't that Henry from Punky?
I don't know.
Soleil Moon Frye.
I don't know about that.
Well, you brought it up,
No, I think Charles S. Dutton, I think that's who the actor was who fell for Dustin Hoffman's Tootsie character.
Sure, this wasn't some viewing from the rest of your collection?
No, major motion picture.
Let's see. Jessica Lange was in Tootsie.
Yeah.
Terry Garr, who was in Mr. Mom with Hank Kingsley.
She has a plucky spirit, don't you think, Doug?
I'd say plucky. Yeah.
Dabney Coleman. Were you thinking maybe you're thinking of Charles Durning.
And Dabney were
maybe that's who it was. Charles Durning?
Yeah.
I know what the actor looks like.
Well, Charles S. Dutton is kind of a short, heavy-set black gentleman.
Oh, no, then it wasn't him. No. Charles Durning, maybe that's who it was. I told you, I have reached the age where if I just get close to the name, it counts. I think that's to be understood. If I say Cardinal first baseman Mike Carpenter, that's close enough. If I say, oh, no, Bill Wainwright had a rough night on the mound last night, got it.
Yeah, but you still say, nice hole, Bill.
Well, I might.
If I may, On the way back from New York, because ESPN was kind enough to do the Cardinal game
last night.
That was
a nice break for you.
Yeah. So we took a late flight. Of course, when you get... New York is a small city, so you right. can't really get a connecting flight to St. Louis from right. a smaller city. So we had to
Did
go
you have to take a... You actually had to take a connecting flight?
We went through Charlotte.
Oh,
and I thought to myself, you know, I'm glad to be getting home, so my heart is full of warmth anyway. But mm-hmm. walking onto the plane from Charlotte to New York, I did not... was not a full flight, so I didn't feel the need to upgrade to first class.
Plus,
it's expensive. But there in first class, as I walked through going to the ne'er-do-well part of the cabin, was my friend and Cardinal play-by-play Mac, Danny Mac on one side of the aisle, and Biff on the other.
Seated
right next to each other.
Biff had a lot of airtime on the Fox Sports Midwest Friday broadcast. Doug, did you see the wonderful
New York
suit he was
broadcast
wearing?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, the Yes Network was saying, hey, look what St. Louis sent our way.
Yeah.
I saw Biff yesterday at the Cardinal, at the Blues game, too. I mean, he is everywhere.
He's omnipresent.
He is everywhere.
First class next to Danny Mac.
Leading the life the rest of us can only dream about.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
Might have run into some problems with wagers on the Blackhawks and Capitals.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, they've lost 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Well, he made so much earlier that he's probably still living up the winnings.
Doug, Charles S. Dutton was married to a white woman in the TV show True Colors. Thanks, the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Well, that's a nice little fact, Wayne.
Punky Brewster had huge jugs, Doug. Thanks, that's from Mr. Bojangles.
Not as a kid.
She was on Wonder Years, and I believe that was one of the focal points of her characters with the delightful Fred Savage.
She got a reduction, too, by the way.
There you go.
How do you know?
Because I read that she did. She was tired of everybody talking about her big jugs, so she got a reduction.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about
it. Yep. I don't think there's enough family-oriented shows like that on today's
television. Thank you, sir.
Featuring kids with a great spirit to them.
Yeah.
Like Punky.
Well, they're out there. You're just not watching enough of the Hallmark Channel.
No, the Hallmark Channel. And I know one of our listeners out in Los Angeles.
Yep, we're big in L.A., Doug.
He produces films for them. But my wife will watch Hallmark sometimes, so it's on. And it always seems to be the actors that are just past their prime that you haven't seen for a while. In a story about a woman who thinks she has Mr. Right, and it's the guy she never intended to be Mr. Right,
oh
ends up being
gosh.
That guy.
Works out
same
well in the
storyline in every Hallmark film.
Yeah.
Poorly acted.
That's how it was in Chasing Amy, wasn't it? Finger cuffs, right? Nurse? Who was that, Joey Lauren Adams? Was that Joey Lauren Adams?
Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy with Ben Affleck and Jason Lee and the wonderful Joey Lauren Adams. I think, Doug, that's right.
I thought that was Charles Dutton who was in that.
Is that a chick flick?
No. Yeah.
No?
A lot of lesbianism in there, Jack.
Mm.
A lot of lesbianism there, Jack. Doug, got Taco Bell for breakfast. Sucked my ass. Ray King.
Okay, Ray King just got himself suspended. Just got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. I'm writing his name down with my Right Business Products ink pen.
Hey, Ray.
Putting in a leather-bound suspension log Ewell.
Hey, Ray, I'm a fan. You know that. But just enjoy your Taco Bell breakfast. You don't have to bring Doug into that.
No, and we don't need to know about it.
Bud Selects, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Well, you got Cardinal baseball this week, and you got a little Blues hockey on Wednesday. And settle in with a delicious Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ben Fredrickson will join us at 8. Terry Yake will join us at 9, and we will read your emails for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots, and wow, 2 Cardinal tickets for Wednesday. Doug, that's a bus?
Busman special.
Busman special.
Mm-hmm.
Section 105, courtesy of JMH Law Firm. So we're giving away great Cardinal tickets. Section 105, how do you do?
Fine.
And a free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots for our email of the day today, presented by Hot Shots. Wow. This could bring out some of the greats. Not only can it bring out some of the greats, but also the greats then kind of rise to the occasion. Like, I think people like Misty Plops set aside emails that they've already written, and then when we have a big prize, they then fire one of those missiles.
No. They don't pre-write great emails and save them for a big occasion. That's That's a shot at some of our great emailers, Tim.
No, it's just saying that they want it a little bit more, kind of like Timmy the Tickler does. Doug, here he is. He's Timmy the Tickler.
I don't care for him. Usually he's vile.
Hey, Doug. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Tickler. What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you a story about my weekend a couple weekends ago. Okay.
What happened to you, Tixie?
All right, now don't, like, hang up on me like you guys always do, like, in the middle of my story.
Well, don't be vile.
Well, I mean, that's part of the story, Doug.
It's not allowed on the radio.
Well, how about this? If you have to broach a subject that you feel may be vile, how about communicating delicately around it? Is that fair, Doug?
That's fair, yeah.
Right. Yeah, good idea, Kat.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so all those talks about the onion rings on the urinals got me thinking that I wanted to use one of those vibrating things around my wiener.
No.
Good story.
So, Timmy, you ever tried one of those, or Iggy?
So you're asking me if I own a vibrator that I use on myself. Is that the question I was asked, Doug?
I believe it was, well, and he wasn't going to be vile.
You put it around your weenie.
I have to be honest with you. I'm a very good creep, but I don't even know what you're talking about.
Iggy, help him out.
No, I got you, too. I know what you mean.
What do you mean you know what he means?
Well, good, because I don't.
It's like, I guess it would be... They also have, like, weights for your... I can say boner.
Richie's to bone.
So, but it's similar to.
I'm glad you vetted that to yourself.
It's a Timmy. You're talking about a ring that goes more towards the base, correct? And it has different vibrating
shrubs.
No, just different pulsating things. I think it has like speed similar to like a massage chair as well.
Correct. It's for to stimulate my wife.
Doug, did you like that? For to stimulate my wife. It was like a Edgar Allan Poe.
I kind of did.
Okay, and then the next part of the story is?
Well, I put it on, but like I had to take it off because it just kept vibrating my shaft, and it felt really weird.
Right.
So I just ended up not using it.
Okay.
Interesting.
And I just didn't know if like any of you guys used it or any of the listeners used it, so like right. If I was doing it wrong... Or what's going on?
Well, I don't know how we would be able to confirm that. What did your wife say about the whole experience?
She was kind of indifferent about it. I mean, I'm kind of like you, Tim. I can't really get hard. But this, I was hoping that this vibrating boner ring would help. But instead, I think I'm just going to try it on Doug.
Put him down! Put him down! Put him down!
I didn't see that coming. I did.
Timmy the Tickler has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
It's a nice hole, Bill.
He's been suspended from the phone lines for a period of 2 days' time as well. I just wrote his name down right now. And the right business product.
Kind of a fun story, though.
Wasn't fun.
It does bring up the fact that at the press lounge at Yankee Stadium, they did serve onion rings, and I couldn't help. But when I went to the restroom, taking
did
a
did you break, hang one on the urinal?
I didn't, but I checked to see if someone else did as an homage to this.
Michael Kay would have found it delightful.
I did not see it.
Timmy, stand on a stool and tie a vibrating noose around your neck, then kick the stool out from underneath you. That's from Mario in Chicago, Doug.
Yeah.
I believe he's one of the Pandolfos.
I believe he is, too. The Pandolfo brothers are snootfuls, but in this case, he's right on the money.
You're using it wrong, Tickler. You're supposed to swallow it and choke on it and die and never call in again.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's tough to call into this show.
Yeah, it is. And it's probably not a good thing because that discourages the normal people from calling. Only the goofballs call now because they don't care.
But everyone gets killed that calls in.
Tickler, bathe in sulfuric acid. Thanks. That's from Chief J. Strongblow.
Who the hell is that?
Native American chief.
Okay.
My beard won one of those C-rings at a sex toy party. I gave it an 8 out of 10. Thanks, W. Applause. Hey, Tickler, here's how to give your wife a good experience. Drink a gallon of bleach. It's from Mae Young's newborn aunt, who has really become a force. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to see an emailer
it's
emerge.
It's fun, really.
You see a young you see a young text or emailer develop along the way, there is a certain satisfaction.
You get excited about it. You get excited about it. Well, Doug, for decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's Fix Shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Great news! Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades that they're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes Truman Set Ergonomic Handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try. But this offer is only available for our listeners if you use the promo code INSIDESTL at harrys.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer, $18 value for free. Just cover shipping to get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout. That's harrys.com, code INSIDESTL. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. It is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Design Air is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. We will get back into the Blues victory up 3-0 here coming up in the 8 o'clock hours. Ben Fredrickson joins us, and at 9 o'clock with Terry Yake. But switching to the Cardinals and what's going on right now, I didn't necessarily expect them to be great, but I didn't expect this. And I guess you could rattle off kind of a family feud, like survey 100 Cardinal fans and get your biggest concern. You certainly could pick a number of people who are hitting terribly. I saw Eric Messersmith of The Line Change tweet out a statistic last night, something along the lines of Jose Martinez and Greg Garcia, the only two guys hitting above 260. Is that accurate?
That would make sense.
Adam Wainwright.
Scotty's close.
Adam Wainwright. I don't think many people, including St. Louisans, expected him to, you know, no, like, for example, nobody's really complaining when Carlos Martinez got the ball for the first game. Mm-hmm. So people understood, you know, the pecking order, so to speak. And I know for myself, I was really concerned when Reyes went down, because I figured the 1-2 punch would be Martinez-Reyes. So you don't expect, at least I didn't, and I don't think most Cardinal fans expected Adam Wainwright to be what he was, say, just, you know, a few years ago. You recognize time takes its toll and injuries take their toll. But, I mean, he's getting hit hard, real hard, and he hasn't even gotten out in the sixth inning yet this year. And last night, he was raked all over the ballpark by the New York Yankees.
He got hit hard last year, and it's sad to see, because he's not over the hill by any stretch. I agree that you don't expect him to be the Adam, you know, vintage Adam Wainwright. Last year, you know, he said his leg hadn't recovered properly from the Achilles, wasn't strong enough, and there were times where he was good, and then, you know, he thought he was back, and then he'd have a couple of rough ones, and trying to explain and watch him go through the process of trying to figure out, tough to see. And obviously this year it's kind of more of the same in terms of rough outing.
It's hard to watch because he's been such a cornerstone of the franchise for so long. And the team leader, Cy Young candidate for 2 or 3 years, just been an outstanding pitcher for a long time. But age and injuries catch up to everybody, and it does look like it's caught up to him right now. And managing someone who's been that good and has been such a team leader and so universally loved by everyone, it's going to be a hard thing for Matheny to do.
Plowwild, let's play what Adam Wainwright had to say regarding his performance. The sound is courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest. Adam Wainwright following last night's loss.
Well, it's an incredibly frustrating start to the season. I mean, tonight I had good stuff. I made a lot of good pitches, actually. A lot of those hits are on well-located pitches. And, you know, for me, I have to take the positives. I have to understand that I made a lot of good pitches tonight. I made a bunch of junk pitches last time in Washington. stuff is good. I've gone through lineups all the way, pitched nine innings with way worse stuff than I have right now. I really can't understand it. I can't explain. I just got to keep going. Just got to know that this isn't how it's going to be.
Adam Wainwright following the loss last night in New York. Cardinals swept by the Yankees, and they go 1-5 on the road trip. 3 here against the Pirates, and then off to Milwaukee.
Yeah. I don't
know what the hell I was talking about. I was saying they were at home against the Reds this week. That must be next weekend.
Yeah, they're at home tonight.
Did I have a shrub caught in my tooth or something?
And then off to Milwaukee. No one's playing better than the Brewers.
Hey, yeah.
You know, if you just go up and down the lineup, no one's hitting. And it starts with Fowler, who's gotten off to a rough start. You would expect, at least I was, and I was wrong, because and maybe they can turn it around. But, you know, we've seen a good stretch of games already. But I thought with Fowler, Diaz, and Carpenter, the offense would be fine, big on-base percentage guys. Diaz has been okay, but we haven't seen it really from Carpenter and certainly not from Fowler. Made a great defensive play last night, but hadn't been the catalyst that we thought he'd be to this point.
Even if the offense was better, they would still lost a lot of these games. I mean, they're giving up 9 runs and 10 runs and losing by 8 runs here and there. They're just getting throttled as often as not. So it's not all on the offense either. I mean, the pitching hasn't been very good. There's been a couple of starts here and there that have been good. Not many. The whole team is just really in the tank right now. I don't
know.
The
top batting average of all the starters is Piscotty, .258.
Yeah,
and the difficult thing is, and I get why fans are upset, not just at the record, but you know the offseason marching orders were we got to be more fundamentally sound, we need to be better defensively, and we haven't really seen any sort of upgrade. And you know, guys have been playing out of position, which is something they wanted to not do. And we've seen, you know, Adams in left.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to give Greg Garcia more of an opportunity?
Now
will we see him tonight?
Now I do.
You do.
They have no choice. You know, the thing about, and I'm a Colton Wong guy because I think he will be a good player. He hasn't hit. He had to get off to a
You really
good start
still believe in Colton Wong?
I at some point. I mean, you can't argue with what you're seeing. And he hasn't been great defensively either. But I thought with Wong at second base, that's a step toward solidifying your infield defense. Greg Garcia, I don't think, is quite as good defensively, but you can't get around the fact that Greg Garcia finds a way to get on base. And certainly that's something the Cardinals could use right now. So I believe you're going to see Greg Garcia get some run.
I hope you'd see Jose Martinez, too. I don't know what the guy has to do. He hits everywhere. He stepped up against Chapman on, was it Friday or Saturday night, had the double to the wall when everybody else was totally overmatched by the guy. All he does is hit, and we keep hearing how they have to get Matt Adams bat in the lineup. Adams, I think, is 4-for-19. I don't know why you have to get that bat in the lineup right now anyway. Martinez looks like the bat you need to get in the lineup. He's the guy who hits.
Well, I think they were giving Adams a look because he looked so good at spring. He was one of their best hitters.
Martinez was the best hitter.
Agreed. Well, I'm not saying don't play Jose Martinez. At this point, whatever you think will work, put it out there because you got to right the ship.
Yeah, I know defense was their big talking point in the offseason, but I don't know how you can put the same guys out there and suddenly expect that the defense is going to be a whole lot better. It's the same crew.
If there is a week to get it going, it is this week. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, 3-9, you know, is 3-9, and on top of it, it has been a bad 3-9. We were talking about how the Wild have played tight games against the Blues. Well, a lot of these have not even been sweats. Saturday night, or Friday night, I suppose, was a sweat. But, you know, a lot of these haven't even been close, and it's been rough. But they did play against the Cubs. They did play against the Nationals. And even though the Yankees aren't expected to be good, and I don't know if the Yankees will wind up being good, the Yankees have won 7 games in a row. Of course, the Cardinals contributed 3 of those, and they're 8-4 on the season. Now you get a chance to play against 2 teams who aren't expected to be particularly good this week. 3 at home and 4 on the road against the Brewers.
No one's playing better than the Brewers.
Well, I mean, they're 7-6. But
that's misleading.
Yeah, exactly.
Could because easily their run be 13-0.
Plus 7. Doug, you love run differential. The Pirates' run differential is minus 11. Yeah. So 6-6 against the Pirates, 3 against them, and then 4 against the Brewers. This will be more of your National League Central test. By the way, the Cubs are only 6-6. Lost all three over the weekend.
A lot of that's because of what the Brewers are doing to everybody.
But they played the Pirates. So how'd that?
Well, the Brewers, no one's playing better then.
Okay.
And just
okay.
You watch them on TV, you read about them in the paper, and it's intimidating for the rest of the clubs in the division.
Okay.
Boy, that Ben Ogilvie's having a big year.
Oh, he sure is. Robbing you out.
But you look at the Cardinal, I mean, like, you know, Grichik's not hitting. He's continuing to have issues at the plate. Up and down the lineup, guys that you think, okay, if Grichik can get off to a good start, if Wong, if, and I know there were a lot of ifs going into the season, and none of the ifs have really panned out to this point.
I don't think there's anybody in their lineup that the other team goes, uh-oh, look who's coming up next inning. Oh, we're going to have to pitch around him. We're going to have to move our bullpen around because this guy's coming up. They don't have that.
The cat you conveniently forgot about, the Reds. That's from the 314. What does that mean?
Rights holder,
no,
dog.
No one's playing better than the Reds.
Or Brewers.
I don't know what that means.
Aren't the Reds in first place?
Maybe he meant Red Holtzman and Red Chain.
Could well. Or Red Clots. Washington Generals.
I don't know what that means.
Red Adair used to put out the oil fires.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this has not been pleasant by any stretch. Not pleasant to watch the early season Cardinal performances. Not good.
No. I wonder if they'll do anything about it. At what point do you say, okay, we're going to really have to make some changes? We're not going to go through the whole season like this.
I think that's a legitimate question, but fans are tired. Too early. I get that. But at what point do you say, all right, I've seen enough? It doesn't seem like it's now.
Yeah, I think 12 games in is a little early.
Too early.
But if it goes on for the whole month, similar to this, I think you're going to be faced with, well, we got to shake things up. This is not the mix that's going to get anything done.
And if there are
some realistically, and I understand what you're saying, let's play out that hand. What's realistic to do? I mean, getting Garcia in there more, getting Martinez in there more, because you do have two guys who, even though they have had flashes of big time at bats, especially with power, Wong in the postseason, and Grichik seems like he goes on streaks. If you want to talk about two liabilities with track records of being liabilities, I would say you have one at second base and you have one at left field, even though he's a friend of the show. And Doug, you and Randall Grichik, Jake, are tight.
Not really.
He met him a few times. He and Colton Wong are just not doing it. And so not to think that all of a sudden a guy who's been really a minor league ball player, a bench major leaguer, would suddenly figure it out in his late 20s. But really, what are you losing by giving Jose Martinez an opportunity and giving Greg Garcia an opportunity? Because it's not like you're replacing two guys. You're like, yeah, it's just a matter of time before they get back to their old ways. Their old ways at the major league level have never really been consistent major league caliber starter play, especially for postseason contending teams. They have had moments, but they haven't been able to string it together for the most part throughout their career. And would it surprise me if Randall Grichik, especially this week, considering who they're playing, went on some kind of power surge? No, it wouldn't. But when you're talking about the realistic moves that can be made at this point, I think you're limited as far as a real pragmatic application of roster moves or lineup moves, realistically speaking, you know. Unless I'm missing, so you see, is there anything I can, like, would you do with the rotation? What would you do with the lineup? I'd like to see Martinez and Garcia get more chances, but other than that, I don't really know what realistically it would. That's, you know, the Johnny Peralta thing is not surprising. That's why I was really hoping they just unload him. You know, it's not a great sign when you got that guy hitting cleanup to start the season. I realize it's not where he is now, but I mean, that's just not surprising at all. And that's why let's just unload that. Let's Alan Craig that stock.
Seymour was opining and wondering aloud if Doug had actually hot tubbed with Grichik when he said he would. Maybe things would have been different at this point. That was Seymour.
What are you implying there?
He's the executive producer. He was opining on that. He was hot taking on that.
Hot take.
I don't know about that. I just think almost every team in the major leagues has a big number four, number five hitter that changes the way the other team kind of approaches your lineup.
Who would you rather have, Goldschmidt or Peralta?
Probably Goldschmidt.
Yikes. I mean, 855-282-8255. Let them hear it.
The Cardinals had Holiday for many years. Obviously, before that, they had Pujols and big, big, huge home run hitters like that.
They like some big guys.
They changed the look of the lineup. I don't know who the Cardinals have right now that the other team goes, uh-oh, look who's coming up. They don't have that guy.
Johnny Peralta has 3 total bases on the season. Who else has more?
Well, almost everyone who's played at least 2 games.
Plowhawk's Laugh is brought
almost
to you by
everyone.
The Post Sports Bar and Grill.
Well, we're seeing Jerko at third base a little bit. I agree. He's been rough. But who hasn't so far offensively and in many cases defensively for the Cardinals to this point?
Yeah, it's been about as bad a start as I can remember. I think 1988 was what I saw, the worst 12-game start since then.
That is correct, sir.
It's just kind of been as sloppy and uninspiring as I've seen in a long, long time.
Our guest at 8 o'clock, Ben Fredrickson, and we'll talk Blues and Cardinals with him, wrote a piece this morning on STLtoday.com that doesn't bode well for the 3-9 start. As a matter of fact, per a friend of the show, Ben Fredrickson, the history of teams starting 3-9 or worse in their first 12 games is not a favorable one. Take a look at this fun fact for no one tell. When the Cardinals, by the way, went 3-9 in 1988, they finished the season 76-86. Since the postseason expanded in 1994, only 3 teams that have started 3-9 or worse through their first 12 games qualified for postseason play. That's it. And each one of those 3 teams lost their first postseason series. Fun facts for no one tell. So a total of 53 teams between 1994 and 2016 started 3-9 or worse. 3 of those 53 reached the postseason. That's 5.7%. And 0% of that 5.7% advanced to their respective league championship series.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Maybe we need to hear.
Actually, I'm not.
Maybe we need to hear Tony La Russa on the importance of the first week of the season. I know this is 2 weeks, but when they had a bad first week of the season a few years ago, Tony kind of let us all have it in the media, and they came back and did pretty well that year, I think. Maybe that would be a good lesson to have right
now. I'd like
now.
To hear something like that.
I would like to hear it's the first week of the season, because I think we were down on the Redbirds then, and Tony kind of woke us up.
For everybody listening out there, I mean, you think I'm being unreasonable? It's the first week of the season. Yeah. I mean, you guys, I don't understand this. Now, you're going to tell me, who are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Yadier doesn't drive in big runs? You're going to tell me Albert can't hit? You're going to tell me the second baseman shortstops haven't hit? David Freese, you don't think he's going to hit? You think Matt's going to hit? You think Kobe's going to hit? You think Berkman's going to hit? The answer is no to all those things? I mean, you get me. Is that what you accomplish your goal 3-4 times? You ask so I get excited and get upset? I mean, that's not fair. It really isn't.
All right.
Well, Hayes, doesn't look like you're going to get your 150 Cardinal wins this year, rights holder.
I still think they're on pace.
Mathematically,
yeah.
They can.
Yeah. You're telling me there's a chance.
Maybe the Cardinals will be out of the playoff picture before the Blues are actually out of the playoffs. It's from the Hunchback of Von Castle. Doug, you sound like an ass. Have you seen Piscotty's advanced war? Thanks, Mario, Chicago.
I mean, we have not suffered through a really horrendous Cardinal season in a long time.
Yeah, but why do you
it's
hate
risk?
Do you hate risk? Piscotty has a good risk.
Yeah, well, I don't always buy into all the analytics. But it's going to be tough for us to deal with a summer here with a team that's just nowhere close to contention if it continues this way. You know, we really haven't had that in a long, long time.
Yeah, 1999. You know, there were losing seasons or non-postseason years for the Cardinals in 03, 07, 08, 10, and 16. But in every one of those, even 07, where they didn't have a winning record, they were in contention.
Mm-hmm.
And in 03, they were in first place. In 10, they were in first place in August. So that has been rare. This to me is, you know, again, you know, this is coming from, I guess, the most extreme, I suppose, of the three of us on not being high on the Cardinals, but I wasn't as not high on the Cardinals this year as I was not high on the Cardinals last year. I would waver on that 84.5 over-under total going into the year. But with that all said, they have played against, at the very least, two teams very likely to be in the playoffs. I don't think the Yankees, looking at that team, that's going to be a playoff team, but, you know, who knows? Maybe some of those guys are ahead of where they're expected to be, but I don't expect it. I don't think the Yankees themselves are even expecting to be in the playoffs this year. But nonetheless, they have won seven games in a row. Now you get, if you come out of this week and you go 2-5 or 3-4 against this group, and that's rough, you know, that's rough. So you get seven games, three of the Pirates, and I realize the Pirates just went up to Wrigley Field and swept the Cubs, three against the Pirates and four against the Brewers. And if you're still dicking around a week from now, you know, wow, wow, wow.
How, I mean, the reason why I think it has to get better, I don't know if it could get any worse. I mean, this has been as bad as you could imagine a start for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
and no one is hitting well. No one is hot.
Guys, this team reminds me of those early 1990s Redbirds teams. Yikes, it's from the Haley twins. That team had a guy by the name of Little Elvis, Doug.
Did Greg Jeffries, and he was one of the better guys. And Geronimo Pena suffered a horrible injury stepping on his glove trying to make a play on the infield. Remember that one?
Guys, they lost 2 of 3 to the Reds, didn't they? And this guy really wants the cat acknowledged that they lost 2 of 3 to the Reds.
Did I go over every series and mention? I don't think I did. Yes.
Why do you want to act like they don't exist? They're first
place. You caught
place.
Me. Look. Look, when I get caught, I'll admit it, all right? You caught me. I was trying to sneak that one past you. I was trying to pretend like they swept the Reds.
You've seen the year Zach Cozart's having? Maybe you ought to acknowledge it.
I haven't really looked at this. Aren't the Reds leading right now, aren't they?
They're 8-5, Jack.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they came out of spring training feeling so good about things. Everybody was hitting. And I know it's spring training, that doesn't mean anything, but usually if you're hitting the ball well at the end of March, you're probably still going to be hitting the ball well at the beginning of April. It's not often that the switch just gets turned off completely on an entire team. That's what's happened.
I'll turn you on.
I don't know that
this guy
necessarily
said
needs
to
happen.
This guy did go through every series besides the Reds. I don't think I did.
Well, I guess you've never seen Joey Votto play. Denying right
the cat did go through every series.
Did I? I don't think.
There's only been four series.
I did see Joey Votto before a game dressed in a zoot suit.
Did you? Ooh, nice.
He looked pretty good.
Guys, not only are they playing like the early 90s teams, they look like them too with those damn red hats on the road. That comes from the South County mullet. Boy, those blue caps do look sharp, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And when you look
at
the road trip, they won one game with the blue hats, and they lost every game with the red hats. Think about it.
I don't need to think about it that much.
They also won world championships over the last 10 years.
Yeah. The blue ones look so good on the road. I just don't know why that's even an option, why you would even question it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have no idea what's going on, except you want to look like the Reds and Phillies.
I don't know. What's wrong with you two?
That's what you're
obsessed with.
These guys are getting dressed and they put on the red hats and go, oh no, here we go again.
Thank you.
Red hat on the road.
A couple of millies.
Red hat. Boy, we don't have much of a chance today. Not with these hats, we don't.
Guys, Greg Jeffries would hit 495-foot home runs on the dot in All-Star Baseball 92. That's from Goat Boy. Doug, what does that mean?
I don't know. Some board game he had.
And they lost 2 of 3 against the Reds. Let me just get that in
there. About time you acknowledge it.
Thank you. Design Error is the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Support the sponsors. That's the name of the game, Jack. That's the name of the game. Design Error Heating and Cooling, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. As the weather warms up, make sure that your air conditioning is ready to go. And have a maintenance check right now with Design Air. Have a technician come out and make sure you are ready for another St. Louis summer. Their techs have an average of over 26 years of experience and more training with Trane Systems than any other dealer in the area. If you do turn that AC on and find you do need emergency service on a new unit, Design Air Heating and Cooling can, of course, take care of that as well. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one Trane dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop. Train. Ben Fredrickson on the Blues and the Cardinals coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, and Terry Yake on the Blues going up 3-0, and then also couple of the other series in the Western Conference, surprising. I kind of like the Oilers against the Sharks, Thornton being out. And really, I think Edmonton's probably sitting there going, my God, we should be up 3-0. But they're up 2-1 after winning last night in San Jose. And, of course, I can't imagine what they're thinking in Chicago after the regular season they had. And they're really staring down the barrel of the gun tonight at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, down 2-0. So, Blues discussion, Cardinal discussion, the focal point of the program. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Hot Shots email of the day. Monkey Shoulder is the official Scotch whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Support the sponsors and pour yourself a glass when you're out and about watching Cardinal baseball and Blues hockey this week. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS.